Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm visiting with my colleague Eli Lake, a columnist at the New York Sun, a contributing editor at Commentary Magazine, where his measure of the Iraq War abides. Also, the podcaster, The Re-Education of Eli Lake. Lessons learned from Iraq, because we're not entirely looking at the region now. We're looking at America that has a bad memory of the Iraq War, perhaps the Iraq Wars from the 1990s until today, now. Because I learned from Eli that the present prime minister, al-Sudani, Mohammed al-Sudani, vouchsafes the deployment of U.S. soldiers in Baghdad. Is that correct, Eli?
He told the Wall Street Journal last month in January that he did not favor the expulsion of those forces, which certainly, you know, his political backers in this sort of Shia confessional coalition that chose him, they did. So that is an important, I think, point to make.
The American military is present. But back to the beginning, lessons learned. The Bush administration, the big mistake was deceiving the American people when they didn't need to.
I don't count that as a deliberate deception or a lie. I think that they believed that Saddam Hussein was stockpiling weapons of mass destruction. And they believed that because he had failed to demonstrate that he had disarmed according to the terms of the 17th UN Security Council resolution. That's a bit of an oversimplification, but the entire world believed that Saddam Hussein was stockpiling those weapons of mass destruction. He was not. We learned afterwards. It would have been good if the U.S. intelligence community had sort of snuffed that out, or there had been sort of, Team B analysis that would maybe look at things differently. You can always second guess, but that's not the same as sort of a deliberate lie. But one of the reasons that people thought Saddam was stockpiling those weapons is because Saddam had a strategic interest in having his neighbors and his own people believe that he still possessed, you know, poison gas and other sorts of horrible weapons that he could then deploy. That was sort of these weapons of terror and fear were ways in which he was able to bolster his own position and the perception that he would have them. And he had used them at the end of the Iran-Iraq war in Halabja against his Kurdish population. These were things that were in his interest to have the world believe that he had these weapons. And that's one of the reasons why so many people believed before the war that that's what was going on.
And when the WMD did not immediately appear, it was a blow to the Bush administration. It was a blow.
It was a grievous blow. I mean, and it was, I think it set a narrative that persists to this day that, you know, Iraq is the worst, you know, blunder since maybe the Vietnam War, or maybe even worse than the Vietnam War. And to be fair, we haven't talked about it yet. There is a massive kind of kleptocracy, corruption problem right now in Iraq.
Yes, let's get to it, because I asked the question provocatively in your essay. Is the Iraqi population freer today than it was under Saddam Hussein? The answer seems yes, but corruption is part of the problem.
Well, I would say that, you know, the Freedom House in the United States, in Washington, designates that Iraq is not free. That's obviously the lowest rating that it has. And they explain that because there is so much corruption that at this point, you know, do they have independent courts? No. I mean, everybody is bought off. Other problem is, of course, that the militias that saved Iraq from ISIS in 2014 and 2015 are still around, and the state really doesn't have a monopoly of violence, which is an important precondition for things. There have been lots of efforts to try to get things under control. And I would say that, Trump's decision in 2020 to order the drone strike that killed Qasem Soleimani and Mohandas, who was the sort of head of these, of the militias in Iraq at the time, helped Iraq maybe get to the point, you know, on the road to reining in the militias or incorporating them into the military. That has not yet happened. But those are serious, serious problems that I think do threaten the state. But I would just point out, more than the GDP, there have been, I think the figure is six consecutive national parliamentary elections in Iraq. And these were not the kind of pageants that were, you know, staged by Saddam Hussein and other dictators, when we all know that the outcome is ahead of time. These were competitive elections. People did not know what happens. There's an expectation. That, to me, is extraordinary. The fact that there is an Iraqi constitution that was ratified by a popular vote is an accomplishment. So these are things to build on. Again, I would say that in Iraq right now, you could not compare it to kind of, you know, America or Belgium or something like that, in terms of the of freedoms individuals have and the sort of security necessary for such freedoms. But having a problem of corruption is much better than having a problem of a constant terror war, or for that matter, the problem of a sadistic crime family that considered the entire country of Iraq to be its personal plaything and possession. So in that respect, Iraq is better because living under Saddam was so awful.
Is the world safer today than it was in 2003 when the U.S. entered into the Iraq conflict?
Again, if you ask that question at the height of the terror wars or the terror insurgencies, the answer would have been no. If you ask that question today, you know, it's a trickier question, but I would say, yes, it is safer, because I think that in order to evaluate that question, you have to say, what would the Middle East, what would the world, what would Iraq look like if Saddam or his children were still in charge? And I think that you to assume that Saddam's regime or whatever would come after Saddam's regime was somehow stable, and that you wouldn't at some point need to rip off the scab and open the box, Pandora's box here, which is what eventually happened, obviously, after the fall of Saddam Hussein. But I think that this kind of, you know, strife and division that we and civil war that we saw in Iraq after the liberation, it was inevitable given the abuses that were endemic under Saddam Hussein. So when you have a guy like that who kind of creates a Stalinist, you know, a Stalinist dictatorship in a country where, you know, you have people, you know, it's every institution and you neighbors spying on neighbors, you have people being, you know, forever disappeared. It's sort of like North Korea. I mean, like, you have to assume that once the Kim family, you know, is hopefully, you know, driven out of the country, it's going to take a generation at least for that country to recover from the damage of having to live under that kind of state. And we're still seeing, I mean, even, you know, look at Russia. Russia is still kind of getting over the experience of living under the Soviet Union. So in that respect, I do think that the world is safer. And I don't think that, as some people said, that Iraq has to live under a strong man or anything like that. I think that, you know, so far, I would say that the system has survived, and that is itself an accomplishment. But I think it's better than the alternative had Saddam or his sons been in charge of the country.
I learned from your report, however, that the Federal Reserve sends $1 to $2 billion a month to Iraq.
Yep.
To pay salaries. Is that a problem?
Not just salaries. It's also to cover these sort of foreign imports, because, you know, this was established in 2003 when the dinar was worth nothing.
We have 2 minutes. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
We're contributing.
It's a huge problem
to the maintaining of the corrupt billionaires. We contribute.
We are subsidizing money laundering that's being used against the United States by going to Iran and Iranian-backed militias. And the corruption is destroying Iraq. And that's the biggest threat right now. I mean, Fawad Hussein, who is the foreign minister, was just in Washington last week, and at the U.S. Institute of Peace, he said that fighting corruption was maybe even harder than fighting ISIS, to give you a sense of the difficulty of the task. But yes, the United States plays a role in that with the Federal Reserve policy. It's not the, you know, corruption was not invented by the United States, I should say, in Iraq. That was something that was a huge problem under Saddam Hussein and the oil for food program. We can go through all of that, but it is, I would say, part of what might be the negative side of the legacy of the U.S. intervention.
Eli Lake, he is Commentary Magazine contributing editor, where you can find his memories of 2015, extremely dangerous visit to Baghdad and Iraq, and also the numbers that suggest, is Iraq better off today than it was when Saddam Hussein was the ruler? Absolutely, yes. No reason to qualify that even slightly. And I'm speaking to all the American families who participated in liberating Iraq with their soldiers and friends and contributions. Absolutely better. Eli is also the podcaster at the Re-Education of Eli Lake, and he's a columnist at the New York Sun. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.